Hi, welcome to Sacred Conversations with Vision Battlesword. This is an audio series created by me and by the Sacred Light spiritual community for our own benefit as well as for anyone else that might be interested to hear it. This represents a new kind of podcast or a new type of audio series that I call a community conversation. So I'll be talking with the Sacred Light spiritual community and we'll explore all types of topics from truth to philosophy, spirituality, consciousness, psychedelics, and many, many more. And the goal of this is just to explore reality, to explore truth, and to see what all of the different pieces and all the different perspectives are of reality that we can put together into an integration of an entirely new philosophy. So I hope you'll join me for this journey, and without further ado, here's our episode. Thanks.
Hello, Angel.
Hey, Vision.
Howdy. Mm-hmm. Good to be sitting with you today. And I just want to ask you to introduce yourself briefly, if you would. Like, who are you, Angel Robinson?
Who am I? I am a loving, creative founder who is here in the world to create matter, to make a vision that's beautiful and optimistic matter enough that it is materializes into this reality so we can share in it. I'm the founder of Solar Punk Summit, and that's the vehicle right now that I choose to express that purpose in this life.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I consider you a good friend of mine, and I'm really grateful to have this time with you, and I'm always grateful to have time with you. My name is Vision Battlesword. I'm the creator and founder of Sacred Light, and also the creator of Intentional Autonomous Relating. And I'm the host of Sacred Conversations. And that's what we're doing here today. Just have a natural conversation. And I think we agreed that we'd like to explore the topic of manifestation. Does that sound good for you?
Yeah, that sounds good.
So you were saying something a moment ago, and you don't need to repeat that, but I'm just curious if we can kind of pick up somewhere around where we were starting from. What were you saying to me a moment ago about manifestation, or how that manifests for you, or
yeah,
what that means for you?
So you asked me a question about capitalism and manifestation.
Yeah.
And if I'm interested in manifestation, and often we're talking about things in the context of what's trending spiritually, right? So this word manifestation is like a big word in the spiritual community. And I don't know that I used it before I became a part of this community, but my understanding of it maps to everything that I've been doing my entire life, everything that we've been doing our entire lives. It's not some like woo-woo crazy thing. It's like to create in this reality, to bring things into a shared experience. But as I am part of the consciousness community, if you will, I tend to use a lot of flowery language. And one of the things I often say is that I am a goddess. And I know a lot of people say that, and a lot of people use that word. And what do we mean when we say that? What I mean is that I am truly a goddess. I have a vision in my mind. Only I can see it. And then I take that vision and I pull the resources. I draw in the resources to materialize something so that we have a shared reality of it. And if that's not goddess-like, I don't know what is, right? It's the act of creation. And that's what manifestation is. So it's not some crazy woo-woo thing where we're just like hopes and dreams. Maybe that is it for some people. I don't want to knock anyone else's experience. I can only speak for how I can relate to that terminology.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because that was something you were saying a little while ago and just kind of calling it or drawing attention to a difference in manifestation styles that people may have. Mm-hmm. You know, some people go out and get things, other people attract them. And so I want to get into that. But before I do, I want to touch on that piece that you just mentioned about God, goddess, creator. Is that what a god or a goddess is to you? Ultimately, a creator is anyone or anything that creates a god?
Yes.
Is that how it works?
Yes. Okay. I don't know if that's how I thought of God. I think when I was a kid growing up, I thought of God as the ultimate creator and some external thing out there, potentially a man. Mm. The big. And now I think of it more as an action, a beingness, mm. and we all have that potential as part of one larger collective, right? I don't want to get too much into it. These are all personal beliefs, but I do think it is, for most people, about the creator, right? When we think about God, we think about our creator, and we are all creators.
What's the difference between a god and a goddess, or is there one?
I think it's whether you maybe relate more to the masculine or the feminine. And I relate more. It's actually, I feel like I'm very balanced, but I love, because I have a lot of masculine energy and structure, is how I manifest in this world. Yet, in the external, in my outward presentation, and I love the feminine, and it feels very resonant to me. So I think of the archetypical goddess. Yeah.
I've noticed in how you've expressed yourself through Solarpunk Summit, almost every festival, it seems to me there's some aspect of the goddess that's like the return of the goddess, you know, night at the festival, or different expressions. Maybe it's always been that same expression. I've always noticed that, and I've enjoyed that piece of it, because with you, what I've always felt is that didn't feel like an overreaction, where sometimes it feels like feminism or a response to, you know, wanting to counterbalance the historical dominance hierarchies that have existed in culture and society, which I think is true, has felt like a counter suppression, I guess. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean by that?
I know what you mean.
Whereas with you, when you've highlighted the honoring of goddess energy in Solarpunk Summit, it has always felt affirmative as opposed to aggressive. What's the word I'm looking for here? It doesn't subtract from anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It merely elevates something, is the way I've always experienced it, and I've appreciated that about you. So in your opinion, is a god and a goddess equivalent? Are they two halves of the same coin? Are they two polarities of the same energy? Like, what does that mean to you?
Okay, first of all, I feel so seen. I really appreciate that, because it isn't about anyone else's power. It's about my own power. It isn't a reaction. It's a realization. It's, you know, when you look around the world, you can look at it. There's, what part have I played in this? How do I need to step up to actually create what I want to live in? And it's a very empowered position. And it isn't about shaming or blaming anyone else or making anyone else responsible. And that doesn't mean that there isn't responsibility for how we all collectively have come to the place we're in. I'm just saying that my focus, the most empowering focus for me, is to sit with my own being, with my own ability, my own capacity to realize it, to realize some of the reasons that maybe I'm not realizing my full capacity, and that's really about me, and to step into that goddess energy, to step into the confidence, the creation, the courage, and You know, so it feels good to hear that reflection, because I don't think we've ever talked about that before. So I appreciate that. And do I think it's the same thing? Yes. Yes. And we all have the potential to create. And I guess there is a difference maybe between the masculine and feminine. You know, I hate to create these, or I just like creating these polarities and then giving it a name, right? But there are different ways that one can operate. What I feel the structure of the world has been for a really long time, I assign a masculine structure to it, a masculine idea of like moving forward, like taking the reins on reality and making it what you want it to be. And it's progress. It's quite beautiful when balanced. And the feminine energy of that I equate with like care and nurture, and it's like a holistic perspective that has been in many ways, I don't want to say suppressed, because in suppression, there's this idea that there is someone suppressing it, but maybe it's even suppressed within our own selves, right? So I would rather look at it that way. And while acknowledging that there has been an external suppression.
Well, can I just reflect real quickly on that piece and offer maybe, because I agree with you. I sense what you're feeling about that cultural story about suppression of the feminine. And also, I don't see fully evidence of that necessarily in history, but there's a making lesser of, you know, like you can't suppress, I think, the creative force of the feminine. It's literally the creative force of people. It's the creative force of humanity. It's always played a critical role, I think, in every culture, every civilization. It can't be like subtracted or you know, stamped out. But I think it's been, there's a cultural story that it is inferior to, that the masculine, the structured, the analytical, the violent, the direct, the less emotional, et cetera, like these energies are inherently better, just a little maybe, but slightly, but better. They're better than the soft, the sensitive, the emotional, the nurturing, the caring, the agape love, and so on and so forth. And it just seems to me that what I feel from you in your feminine energy and the way you express it and the way you step into and you own your goddess is not inherently superior or inferior. And that's what I really appreciate about it. And it reminds me of like something that I first experienced at Solar Punk Summit, one of them, I don't remember which one, which is the song and the orchestration that the Great Medicine Show plays. I can't remember which song it is, but it's the one where the master of ceremony or mistress of ceremony, I don't know what she'd prefer to be called, is directing everyone in the audience to essentially collect all of the women or men. Sometimes it goes either way, but to collect all of, you know, one masculine or feminine energy and then surround it and nurture it and hold it with the other while they get to fully express themselves, and then gradually, slowly bring them into contact, and then gradually, slowly bring them into mixing and mingling those energies again. One of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And it's just so mature in its balance and its honoring of everyone, and also acknowledging that we are different. We have different strengths, different capabilities and needs. And sometimes we need to be held. Sometimes we need to be seen. Sometimes we need to be touched. Sometimes we need to be, you know, appreciated for our sexiness, for our power, for our groundedness, for our creativity, all of these different expressions, both male and female. And neither is inherently better than the other. Actually we need, and we in fact are both. And I've always really appreciated that.
Yeah, it's true. We are both, each of us in our individual being, you know, so we are somewhere on the spectrum, maybe more feminine, maybe more masculine, the way that we are, you know, creating this polarity. But we do need both. We need both just so that we can live in a world that feels good, so that every person that we come into contact feels good about their being, right? I think about this with the masculine and feminine in race relations and any sort of dichotomy that you could set up. Like, the idea is not to have one be above another or one paying for the sins of the other or the past or any of that. It's like all that past is very important for us to reflect on as we come into this present moment, and to treat each other as equals in this present moment and with compassion, recognizing all that has come before, because we all have to navigate our stories and they really do impact how we see the world, how we move through our struggles. I'll give you a good example. This is a very vulnerable one for me, but you know, I'm creating in this reality, and it's hard as an entrepreneur, any entrepreneur. It's very challenging. It can be, often is very challenging to bring anything into fruition. You have to think about a lot of things. You have to think about money and relationships. And as I navigate those and I move through a lot of the challenges of bringing in resources or, you know, having people not always respond to me in the way that I would like them to respond to me, there's all kinds of voices in my mind, right? You know, from this, the programming of having grown up in this reality. And as a Black woman, or person with brown skin, however you want to look at that, every once in a while, a story will come in like, oh, I wonder if it's because I have brown skin, you know, and that's because we live in a field where my entire life, everyone has said there is this relationship, you know, and I'm very cautious about this with my family. I do not want my son to believe that there is a world out there that is against him, mm-hmm. that is inherently just against him. No, you treat every person as they come. And also you understand that as people come, they have been immersed in a lot of the same stories. So you can hop into their story and become a non-player character, mm-hmm. like just play these roles out that have been assigned to us through the stories that we've seen, watched, heard. Or you can show up in this moment and decide, how do I want this to be? Who do I want you to see me as? But it's challenging. We all have these stories in our minds, whatever it is. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not whatever it is. And then I look at my friends, you know, who are entrepreneurs, you know, across the board, white, Black, whatever, and watch them struggle. And their struggle seems very similar to my struggle. Like, we're all going through it. We're all going through it. So is that story about race true? Well, surely it can be. Mm-hmm. If you choose to live in that reality, that can be your reality. Is that story about being a woman true? It can be. And sometimes it often is. And that's the thing, is like, we live in a field of everything. There is racism. There is sexism. There is ageism. You're going to come in contact with people who definitely are like playing that role. That doesn't mean that that's the world you live in. It's right. Just one data point. And there are so many. So which data points are you going to choose to focus on?
And increasingly, I think that door swings both ways these days.
Oh, true. Yes, I feel you.
I think in my corporate career, I'm pretty sure, actually, in my corporate career, I spent 20 years in the technology field, you know, roles from technician all the way up to senior executive. And I feel that my progress in terms of, you know, moving up the corporate ladder, so to speak, I feel like I hit a ceiling mm-hmm. because of my age, mm-hmm. interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. I didn't have gray hair. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I looked too young.
Oh, yeah.
And I got stuck at a certain level. It's like, I almost feel like, okay, I've actually got a few gray whiskers coming in now. Maybe I can go back and maybe be finally. But like, I really feel like I got you know, stuck at a certain point. So discrimination is true, and it takes all sorts of different forms. But like you said, there's a lot of old stories that we live in as limitations of our own capability and our own potential that are just not, it's not to say that they are completely untrue, but they may not be true for us anymore or in any given moment.
And they don't have to be true for you. It's right. Like you can have that be the focus of your attention, or you can decide to focus on other, not even just focus on, right? Because maybe you feel like you're surrounded by something. Well, instead of just accepting that as this is the reality, this is just what it is like. No, what the question I ask myself is, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? How do I find that resonant frequency, that resonant energy that feels good, that sees me as I am? And if you're feeling really empowered and you're an alchemist, you can actually go back into those spaces where you felt disempowered and actually alchemize, transmute that energy and help other people out of the stories that they might may be in, if you can be compassionate. You know, to go back to your question about, you know, the masculine, feminine, and seeing it, if there's one that's better or worse than the other, we just have this opportunity right now as we wake up to our power, as the feminine wakes up to its power, to look across the table into the masculine and say, I'm here. I'm healing. If you're healing too, if you want to heal too, we can heal together and we can be whole together and we can move forward. We can let go of the resentments and we can operate from a place of trust. Right. And maybe that means the first thing I need to do is tell you where I feel vulnerable, where there are stories that I'm holding that don't feel good. And that maybe I just need you to hold space for that. And I can also be compassionate enough to have you hold space without blaming you specifically, unless maybe it's you. And unless it was something you specifically did, but then it's not a blame. It's like, hey, let me bring into your awareness how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And we've been through this. And this is what I love about our relationship. It's like, you know, having conflict and going like, actually, here's how I feel. And if you can see me and I can see you, we listen. And we know that at the foundation, at the root of this is love and the desire to move forward together, to be at peace. Yeah, like
to co-create ultimately, which is kind of like where we started with this. So, okay, so if a god / goddess at its core is a creator, and we all kind of fit that definition, or at least we all have the potential for that, or maybe it's not even something we can avoid. We're doing it all the time, whether we are become aware of it or not.
There you go.
Is a manifester or someone who's engaging in manifestation, someone who has sort of become more intentional about their contribution to the creation of reality? Is that kind of how it works?
I think so. Like you said, we are all creating all the time, unintentionally. Mm-hmm. The power resides in recognizing that and choosing and guiding, you know, deciding what you want to manifest in this reality. And then with that comes a lot of responsibility as well. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of responsibility once you realize the impact that your creation has in this world. No matter who you are, no matter who's listening to this, wherever you are having an impact by the thoughts that you allow and the way that those thoughts create your reality and the way that you relate to others and this reality.
I really believe that to be true. I mean, I've just had, especially in the last few years, you know, as I've been kind of going through a next stage of unfolding or, you know, evolution of my awareness and things, I just can't deny anymore these experiences that I have where I think about things and then they're happening. And I mean, okay, yeah, you can say, you know, any number of cognitive biases and hand wave all of that away. But it's like, no, this is too fucking weird. Okay. I'm sorry. I got to tell you, this is weird. And I can't deny that. I have this very, very strong sense that exactly what you said is true, which is to say, it actually really matters what's going on between these two ears, just within the confines of this skull. It actually really matters. And then it matters even extra what of those contents end up actually coming out in the form of vibrations in the air and sound waves, even when I'm alone by myself. And then there's an extra layer of importance to when those sound waves actually hit another person's eardrums and make an impression, and those vibrations are communicated actually physically through the world and not just psychically or energetically or however, whatever these other ways are that they seem to get out there. We are having an impact. We are the never-ending, ongoing pebble in the pond ripple hitting all of the other ripples. And once we wake up to that fact, and once we become aware of that fact, then just like you said, with great power comes great responsibility. If you know, it seems to me that you have a new level of opportunity for intention.
Yes. Yeah. There now, once you see the choice, you can make a choice. Right. And yeah, there's the opportunity.
So I heard from a guy by the name of Matthias DiStefano. Do you know him? I heard about the word. He's great with language. He's always breaking down language and especially taking things way, way back into its original roots.
Yes.
Of wherever those words come from.
Yes, the etymology of a word. They're so powerful.
I heard him say about the word manifest or manifestation, that it comes from, you know, the root, Latin root, man, which means hand, and fest, which means party. And so to manifest is to make a party with your hands. And that reminds me, it's interesting because
I want to look up the etymology of the word. I wonder if that's...
Do you want to do it right now?
I do. I do this every day, all day with certain words.
But this is interesting. So it's coming up, and this is etymonline. So take that for what it's worth. Yeah. But it says, manifest, clearly revealed to the eye or the understanding, open to view or comprehension. From Old French or Latin, manifestus, plainly apprehensible, clear, apparent, evident, caught in the act. Comes from manus and festus. And then what's interesting also is manifestation, disclosing what is secret. An exhibition or demonstration, to discover, disclose, or betray. And then in spiritualism, the sense is a phenomenon by which the presence of a spirit is rendered perceptible. Now that is interesting.
That's interesting.
I like that. A phenomenon by which the presence of a spirit is rendered perceptible. That feels the most close to what our common understanding of the word manifest, to make something real, correct? Like to make into form.
Yes.
Is essentially how we would understand the literal definition of manifest. But but to bring it back to the expression of a spirit to become perceptible.
I love that, because my experience at Solarpunk specifically is a divine presence is attained. I'm like, whoa. I mean, like, no alcohol, no drugs. The Bifrost event was such a great example. We had our New Year's activation, and not on any substances, and yet I was having the most psychedelic experience. And I'm watching kids lay down. I'm watching people partying. I'm watching just love. It's just a pure expression of love as an entity. And I think of love as an entity as well, like this loving source that is just emanating and guiding us in so many ways. And so it's the expression of that. which is why, and it's to create that, to be a goddess, it's to tap into that, to tap into the vision, the secret, the thing that's only in you, that only you can see, and to make it a reality, and so that other people can see it. It's revealed to others. And then with Solar Prime Summit, what is revealed is the potential of love, of community, of caring for each other, right?
Hmm.
But I think one aspect of manifestation that's important to talk about, because I think sometimes in the spiritual community, there's some idea that it's all about just having an intention.
I'm so glad you brought that. That's exactly where I wanted to go next.
I don't know. I can say I have never been successful at
wishing at for wishing. Something to come true.
I've been successful at wishing for things to come true, and like opportunity comes.
Yeah.
Some opportunity comes that allows for me to move toward a goal, right? I've seen amazing synchronicities that feel like, wow, the universe just plops things into the field. Like synchronicities that are like, yes, I prayed for this and wished for this. But it's always a part of something. It's an opportunity that I get to say yes to, or I can sit back and do nothing, right? And then obviously I don't manifest the thing that I'm ultimately seeking, because it is a choice. So I think when you set an intention, when you get really clear on your vision, and this might be different for different people. Some people go out and find the things that they need. Like they seek and create. Whereas for me, it feels more like I create a vision and set an intention, and then I move through the world, and somehow just the energy of what, there's all this energy surrounding me. And I feel like I'm in the Garden of Eden where I'm just like plucking from the trees of this reality all of the parts. But there's an openness in what it looks like. And that's really the key, is like, can I see how this thing that I want is this thing that I want? I have to be able to see it and not, just not pass it by when it is actually provided to me.
I think that's the key. There's a lot of different elements to it, but I think that is a key aspect of manifestation, is just actually knowing what you're looking for, mm-hmm. like being crystal clear on what it actually is that you're seeking or that you're available for. And it's like the blue car phenomenon, right?
Yes.
You buy a blue car and now you see blue cars everywhere. You buy a certain kind of car and now you see that kind of car everywhere. And you didn't notice it before because your mind and, you know, your overall perceptual system is filtering out. The vast majority of the sense data that's coming in is getting filtered out, or else you'd be completely overstimulated. You wouldn't be able to focus on anything. You'd be non-functional.
Right.
And so I think that's such a huge aspect of what we experience as those manifestation synchronicities, is actually just tuning your filter to what you actually want to see. Because like you said about the Garden of Eden of possibilities, or whatever that phrase was that you used, it's like we're in this a world of abundance, mm-hmm. at all times. It's, you know, opportunities. Another kind of analogy or metaphor that I've used a lot in my life, it's more related to luck, but I've used to say, you know, my opinion is that what people experience as quote unquote good luck is really just having a certain kind of discretion for when you choose. It's interesting that to reflect to what just happened, but when you choose to open your door, because mm-hmm. people are knocking, or opportunities are knocking on your door a million times a day, every single day. And you can say yes or you can say no. And really good luck is a certain kind of discretion of what you choose to say yes to, because there's a universe of possibilities, you know, that's just streaming through your life, or you're streaming through this opportunity space, mm-hmm. you know, constantly. And so then I got one more cliche or aphorism that I want to drop in, which is God helps those who help themselves. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, my relationship to that phrase has changed a lot through the course of my life, you know, from being, you know, sort of looking down on it to really having a comprehension of it and what it means, especially since Sacred Light, you know, Sacred Light is very much about manifestation. And I've learned so much about manifestation from, you know, creating this program and having all these experiences with people, as well as my own experiences with the technology. And that phrase now makes so much sense to me, because, you know, this comes back to that kind of, do you go out and get, or do you sit back and attract, kind of two different polarities of manifestation, at least in the way that some people think about it. But I don't think about it that way anymore, because my sense is that it's both. Mm-hmm. It has to be both.
Yeah.
I'm not impressed personally. I'm not impressed with, and I'm probably going to be kind of talking out of school here, because I haven't actually read the book and I don't actually really necessarily know what it says, but I have this idea of what the secret is all about. Okay. Or some of those other and I'm not going to name any names, but some of those other sort of manifestation gurus and things of that nature, where it is about kind of what you said. It's about holding these intentions, and it's all very internal, and it's about your own energetic state, and it's about writing things 50 times on a blackboard, or whatever it is that you, however it is that you focus your attractive energies to just magically bring things in. And I do believe in magic, but I don't necessarily think I believe in that kind of magic. Mm-hmm. At least that's not how it's worked for me.
Yeah.
How it works for me is, yes, do all of those things to focus your intentions and get crystal clarity on what it actually specifically is that you would like to see in the world, and get off your couch and go outside your house and make some phone calls and, you know, write some things down on some pieces of paper. And send them, you know, through the internet, and do all of those things to begin the process of creating, literally, physically, tangibly creating those things that you want to see in the world. And then the magic happens. Mm-hmm. And then the synchronicities happen. And then things just start to show up out of the blue. And then you start to notice the things that were actually always there all along.
Yeah.
And you can put the pieces together.
Yeah.
I think it's an integrated approach.
Yeah, especially if you're concerned with time. Mm-hmm. As if you right? Like, maybe if you sit around in one spot long enough in this life or the next, you will have everything that you've ever wanted at some future point. Maybe that's true. But time, since we relate to this time dimension, the more action you take, I don't want to say the more, because I'm, you know, there's probably an upper limit to it. As someone who has overworked and burnt out and felt burnt out many times, I'm actually coming out of feeling burnt out. There's definitely an upper limit to it. But, you know, you put action in, or you put out action, however you want to think about that. And so to the degree that you do that, there's going to be, you know, some outcomes from that move you closer to what you're seeking. And that just seems like the reality. And also, you know, I don't know where I am in my spiritual journey. If there is someone out there who is literally just manifesting, sign me up for your masterclass. How much is it? $6.99? You know, I never want to put limitations on what the potential of this reality is, because I think there's so much potential, so many ways to do it. We're all having an individual experience. all I can say is for me is that there is, you know, it's both. It's attracting and it's also seeking. It's going out there and putting my energy out there and speaking my intention. So that part of it about putting that frequency out into the world through your words, speaking it out so others hear it. That's that seems to me to be one of the best ways to manifest is to speak out into the world what your needs are, what your intention is. And so people who have aligned intentions and resources are like, oh, I want to add to that. I want to be a part of that. I have a part of what is necessary to make that a reality. That's all of what I do with my life.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me. There's this thing in my mind that I want to try and describe, but it's hard to put into words. But a few years ago, I just had this epiphany, and I mean, this is going to sound, I guess, in spiritual community circles, this is probably going to sound like old hat, but I had this epiphany of the universe. I said this, I was at a group of people, we were having a little psychedelic ceremony one time, and I was trying to share this epiphany with someone, and I said, I had this idea, guys, the universe. And okay. Somebody said, I've heard of it. It's like, no, universe, like one song, you know, the verse being like a verse of music, one song, and every word we speak, every action we make, every even thought we have is like a note or a lyric being entered into this infinitely complex, mind-bogglingly sophisticated score of music, this music, this ongoing, living, n-dimensional painting, sculpture, song, creation that we're all co-creating. And it really, even speaking this right now aloud is inspiring me to really clean up my own act in my own life. Because I actually do believe in the importance of how we show up, even when nobody's looking, even when nobody's around and when nobody's listening, but especially with that power that we have as communicators to pass our energy and our thought and our ideas back and forth. To your point, just speaking your intentions into the world and speaking them to other people, inspiring people, being passionate about what you believe in and what you'd like to see in the world and what you'd like to create is a dramatic way of manifesting. Bringing people into your field and receiving their energy around your vision and also being open to their contributions to a collective vision.
Yeah. One thing that feels important to bring into awareness as well is if every word we, this idea of one song, I really like that. Like, this is one song. All of us, we're in it together. We are all co-creators. And so what are you adding to this co-creation? Like, really think about that. What is the frequency? I said this during one of my last events. It's like, you are an invocation. Every word that you speak is an invocation. And what if you really thought about that every time you talk to someone, how would you speak? Knowing what are you invoking? What are you invoking in them, in this world? And so it's really interesting now that we have, you know, media is so prevalent, social media, news, even though that's kind of dying a little bit, but it's just changing forms, right? But we spread all of this information, and so much of it is negative information about what's happening here or happening there, scary fear narratives, and they feel really important. I understand why it feels really important to speak on what's going on in a war-torn country, right? Like, you care. And also, there is something about spreading fear or discord or shifting someone's reality so that it now includes that energetic, especially when it's from a place of not empowering them. and not giving them a way to cope or deal with that. So often information that we're receiving, and this is very different than at any time in our past, because information passes so quickly now, that we're hearing about every single negative thing that's happening all around the world. And then we shift the focus, mainly because our nervous systems are just so out of whack. We're in a state of stress and we're looking outward all of the time and seeing these big problems, and a lot of times freezing because we don't know how to deal with them, getting angry, externalizing our power because we don't know how to deal with it. So let me vote for some guys off somewhere who's telling me he has a plan, and creating power structures that we don't have control of. And what I think is more important is to have an awareness that there's a lot of pain in the field, but not to put your focus there, to focus in really, like, really locally, first in oneself, right? How am I feeling? What am I manifesting in my immediate reality? What's happening in my immediate reality? Who needs care in my immediate reality? How can I be more loving? What can I do to be of service here? How can I make my own life better? And then once you've got that, once you've made your own life better, and you can interact with people in your immediate sphere to be loving to them and give them, you know, maybe the skills they need or the inspiration they need to be loving to the next person. It's this spreading outward of the energetic of love, so that this song that we are all singing together, the note becomes one that feels more harmonious, more beautiful, instead of a dissonant chord, right? And that takes a lot. It takes deep intention, because there's always going to be someone selling you a fear story, telling you you need to focus your attention on it. And if there's nothing, if it's not in your immediate sphere and there's nothing you can do about it, the best thing you can do is to be loving to the people in your immediate sphere, make your immediate world better, and so that you're all more empowered together to be able to move that ring a little further out and a little further out until the whole world is in harmony.
Hmm. That piece you mentioned about invocation really landed for me very powerfully. Just realizing, I mean, again, fancy mouth words, in the spiritual community, so-called conscious community. You said something earlier, consciousness community, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if I've heard that before, but anyway, in our circles, there's lots of fancy mouth words about the power of language and spellcraft and how the power that we have to create our own reality just from our intentions and our thoughts and our language and so forth. But I don't think that a lot of people are really taking to heart what you just said about each and every thing that I say, especially to another person, being an invocation in the magical sense. Or I'm a computer guy, or I've been a computer guy, thinking of it as if every single piece of language that I put out into the world is like typing a command into a computer.
Mm-hmm. And then,
You know, I'm going to get a result.
Or you garden.
Yeah.
Well, you plant a seed. What's going to come from that seed, right?
You reap what you sow.
You reap what you sow.
There's a lot of, it's kind of funny how much wisdom we have packaged into all these old sayings, isn't it?
It is.
I was just having a conversation with someone else about that, about this technology of storytelling, and this that's the original meme right there. Those are memes.
Yeah.
How we pass down really, really critical, important knowledge from generation to generation. And it's also funny, at least in my own life, how I've learned these sayings, I've repeated these sayings over and over again, but then sometimes you get to a particular point in life, which may be well into adulthood, when you find if that actually that seed actually germinates, and you're like, oh
yeah,
reap what you sow. Got it.
Yes. Or this simple one: love is all you need.
Yeah. Love is greater than fear.
It's really interesting when it really lands, when you really get it, like, oh
yeah,
I see the deeper truth.
But the piece about, you know, I resonate also a lot with what you, you know, what you were saying about how we can get pulled into these stories and these energies that are, let's say, outside of our sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. They're outside of our sphere of control. And yet they can infect us with paralysis, with reactivity, with depression, or be used to actually hijack our energy. Like you were talking about, like, well, just vote for this smart person and all your problems are going to be solved, or just send your money here and we'll take care of it for you, whatever the case may be. And I think, again, it's almost like in this conversation, there's been a lot of these extreme balance between these extremes that's been coming up, where there is an alternative that's proposed a lot in our circles, which is almost, I mean, I don't want to be, I don't want to diminish the way people think about things or mischaracterize them, but to me, it's almost a head in the sand. Mm-hmm. There's a head in the sand kind of, or put your fingers in your ears and go la, 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 kind of like, yeah, it's not really happening. Mm-hmm. If I don't pay attention to it, it's not part of my reality. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, unfortunately it is. Unfortunately, you know, you can create a bubble for yourself up to a certain point. Mm-hmm. And also, eventually, whatever's out there outside your bubble is going to come for you at some point. And, you know, that may take you through your entire life, maybe even the life of your children, who knows. But I think there's a balance between having a healthy awareness of your own scope of capability and your own scope of influence. Mm-hmm. And keeping your energy there, right, where it can do you and others good.
Right.
And not, you know, allowing your energy to dissipate out into, you know, situations that are well beyond your scope of control or influence, versus kind of pulling the wool down over your own eyes. Yeah. I just don't think that's helpful either.
It is. It's about, in all things, it's about balance. It's very tricky because, and this is something that I think about a lot, and I've sat with medicine too, and in my medicine journeys, it's been very present for me as well, is that struggle. This is where I can get a little bit woo when I think about the nature of this whole reality and the struggle between light and dark, and choosing, like, every single moment, choosing the highest frequency, even when other frequencies are coming in that are, like, screaming for your attention. It's really about, for me, being able to have those things come into the field, especially if they're not your immediate experience. And, you know, that's where it's tricky. If something's in your immediate experience, it does not pay for you to put your fingers in your ears. If you're seeing it, if you're experiencing it, if it has, if it's material to your well-being in any present moment, then that's not something you should turn away from. Like, this is something that wants your attention, and you'll become stronger by actually working with whatever that energy is and resolving it in a way that's good for you and good for your family and community. Where it gets trickier for me is when most of what we're getting is story. Mm-hmm. When I have to get story from other people about what's mm-hmm. happening in the world. And you see this all of the time. One of the most basic examples of it is just, like, violence, right? When I went to go visit Mexico, they were like, oh goodness, oh my Acapulco, oh mm-hmm. goodness. Mm-hmm. And I was scared. Mm-hmm. I went there and I was scared. Yeah. And the reality of the experience was, it was kind of like living in Brooklyn. It's like, yeah, definitely don't go down that alleyway. But like I grew up, but, you know, you get these ideas of what the reality is, and it's not a balanced view of the world. And you can't even really know unless you have your own experience. So all of what you're responding to is someone else's narrative, someone else's story. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can trust that someone else. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can't. Even if you could trust that they are being as true as they possibly can be within their experience of what's happening, they're still filtering it through a lens based on their biases and you know, preferences. And so no matter what, you're still reacting when you're like having that become your major focus. You're still reacting to someone else's story. Like, you're not even sure what the actual story is. That feels like wasteful energy. Mm-hmm. It's important information to hear how they are reacting to the world, because it's coming to you, right? Their interaction with whatever is happening, they're probably reacting to someone else's story, who's reacting to someone else's story, right? Mm-hmm. All that is coming to you. And once it comes to you, you get to do one of probably many things, but I'm going to set it up as two. You can be transmuted and like start to resonate with that frequency and that energy and start to be an avenue for that energetic to spread. You can share that information. You can get upset. You can whatever that information invokes in you, you can now be a carrier of that and invoke it in someone else. Mm-hmm. Or you can sit with it and figure out how you would like to, well, first of all, think about what you want to invoke. What do you even want to invoke? I always speak from this space of like invoking love, because I know that's where I am and that's what I'm choosing in this reality. You do not have to choose that. No one has to choose that. But for me, the love seems to create the most beautiful experiences in my world. And so when I get a piece of information that is something like, oh, there's a war here and all of these people are, okay, what can I do with that information? For me, a lot of times it's just about receiving it and understand and create having a greater understanding of how I want to treat people in my field, because I can see the contrast. I can see what happens when people have disagreements and discord, when they begin to create stories where they hate each other, when they allow people to take advantage of them and their perception of reality, when they create all of these rules and boundaries and laws that actually create more division. So I can learn from that without immersing myself in that story. And I can say, okay, in my own story, because of the contrast of that, how do I want to treat all of the people who are around me? How do I want to deal with conflict so that we don't become that? We're definitely not going that way. So we create a successful way to deal with conflict in our own sphere. And then if we do that successfully, we now have an example in the world that other people can be a part of. So you can transmute the energy into something more beautiful, or you can be a carrier of that energy so that it spreads.
I like this a lot. The visual image that I'm getting based on what you're saying is each and every one of us as a light refracting mm-hmm. prism of some sort or lens. And so energy is coming into our field, our sphere of influence, our sphere of capability. And we, at least, and always get to choose what we want to do with that energy. We can become a focusing lens and we can amplify that, or we can become a diffusing, you know, crystal, and we can send it back out in all directions, or we could actually reflect it and change its color and send it off in a completely different direction if we want. It all depends on how we orient ourselves to it, how we orient ourselves to internally.
Right. And like, as you said, it's operating within your sphere. Like, what is your capacity? There are some people who can hear about a war and go, I have the capacity to do something, like really materially do something that I believe, and I'm doing it from the place of love, not fear. I feel like that's important. But I'm doing it from the place of really believing that I can have a positive impact. Maybe I have the resources to send food or aid, comfort, whatever it is. Totally. Because that's a refraction, right? But if you're just taking an energy and then spreading fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I'm getting from all this is that one way that we manifest, that we create what we'd like to see in the world, or rather one way that we create things in the world, whether or not it's what we'd like to see in the world is a different question, but it really, we shouldn't underestimate the power that we have in terms of our own choice of the energies that we amplify mm-hmm. versus the energies we alchemize, or versus the energies that we simply don't send anywhere at all, mm-hmm. take to ground, let's call it, mm-hmm. you know, like, hey, here comes some energy. Nope. Pachamama, take that one. Nobody needs any more of that. We're good to go.
Yeah.
You know, or this one's like, oh, that's interesting. People should probably know about this, but I want to add my perspective to it in terms of what I think the most helpful or positive or effective or beneficial reaction or response to that might be, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I think, you know, I think the dominant program right now, which is an unintentional amplifier but the word unintentional isn't what I was seeking, but sort of just like an indiscriminate, that's it, mm-hmm. like an indiscriminate amplifier of whatever comes in. Oh no, it's fear, it's fear, it's fear, more fear, more fear, more fear. Let's all amplify that. Or, you know, even if it's hope, mm-hmm. you know, but the kind of milquetoast hope that we sometimes get on the same channels that we get the fear from and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I like that as a component of manifestation. It's there's certain energy that we originate, and then there's certain energy that we have the opportunity to interact with mm-hmm. or be a part of the transmission of. Ooh. And that influence that we have there is extremely important as well.
Really, I personally think this is the world I want to live in. This is the time of the alchemist. Mm. You can take that energy and send it to ground, but there is a dissonant chord. It is like there's a lot of dissonance in the world. So I think sending it to ground is great for you as an individual because you're not amplifying it. And so that's great. But I think if you can alchemize it and send it back out. So like take this one person who is like fully immersed in that, and then you can shift them even just a little bit. If we can shift together, if we can see it in a different way, and then they take that. So it's like that viral interaction the other way, in the other direction, where it's like, no, they can insert this beauty into their sphere or the people they're talking about. Oh, I didn't think about it like that. Mm. Oh, you know, because we don't always see, right? It just sometimes it just takes someone else to have a different perspective, and we go, oh yeah, that totally, I can see that. And once they can see that, then we can make it matter.
That consumes some energy to do that, though.
Oh yeah.
And I my intuition is that there's a very good role for some firewalls in the ecosystem, you know, where information just hits me and it goes nowhere after that.
Dude,
you
know? I'm in a complete agreement. Sometimes I don't have that resource.
Yeah. I reflect it also to gossip. Mm-hmm. It's almost like this kind of the geopolitical stuff that you're talking about, or the political stuff or whatever, psyop type stuff, whatever it is. It's almost like gossip on a grand scale. It's like Truly. Global gossip in a way. But, you know, I've been, especially within the last few months, for some reason, I've been becoming very aware of gossip and just how destructive it is, and needlessly destructive, and for no apparently good purpose that I can see. The creation of drama, the creation of melodrama in our communities, sure, I think sometimes it can be highly entertaining, and I think that it's a social technology that actually has an evolutionary function of it's the original internet. You know, like there's things people got to know, you know, mm-hmm. let's replicate this one. Let's get this one virally out there. Like we got to spread this message so that everybody hears it. I get that. It's a good technology. I'm aware of its utility. And at the same time, it's become something that does more harm than good. Mm-hmm. I think very often, and I've just become very hyper conscious and aware of it recently, and have really come to appreciate the people in the community that stand as firewalls to gossip, mm-hmm. and that just just like, I'm just not a repeater, mm-hmm. period. I'm not repeating that. Yeah. I'm not repeating that. Yeah. I'm not repeating any of that. You know, I think there's something very valuable that there's just something we could take from that, where something comes to a meme comes to you, or a news article comes to you, or, you know, some alert, be afraid comes to you, and you don't have to blast that out to your mm-hmm. entire network. Maybe mm-hmm. sit on that and think about it for a minute. Maybe do your own investigation for at least 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe come to some sort of a decision for yourself about what you actually want to do with this particular energy, where maybe the default setting, instead of replicate, is ignore. Mm-hmm. If I don't actually have energy right now to engage with this, I've got actually my own stuff going on, like my garden that I'm trying to grow, or mm-hmm. my family that I'm trying to spend quality time with, or the project that I would like to create and see in the world. Mm-hmm. And that comes back to perhaps my final cliche of this conversation, which is think globally, act locally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yes.
So there's like a balance there between knowing what's going on or doing your best, because it's real hard these days to know what the heck is going on and what's real news and fake news and mm-hmm. propaganda and spin and deep fakes for that matter and all of these things.
Gossip
for that matter. Yeah. Or just straight up stories or entertainment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think there's a balance to be struck between trying to pay attention to what's going on in the state of affairs so that you can be informed and have some level of an awareness of what those ripple impacts are mm-hmm. of your energy, of your influence, of your actions and your words in the world, but not getting lost in that, not giving your power away to that, giving away your energy to that, mm-hmm. or making weird suboptimal decisions in your own local sphere based on whatever it is that you think is happening halfway around the world.
Right. Know thyself. You mm-hmm. know, often when we talk, it's like, this is how it should be done. Everyone is different and everyone has a different capacity at their different stages. And so what's very healthy for one person, another person might not have the capacity to do that. You know, if you notice, if you turn on the television, turn on your news channel.
You turn on the television?
I actually do turn on the television.
Oh, really?
I love stories. Okay. It's so funny. I think about my grandmother and she used to say, I'm watching my stories. And I love reading stories. I love watching stories. I love living experiences because that's what you're doing, is you're living an experience without actually having to, mm-hmm. you know, deal with the consequences of all of that. And they are very, for me, there are always insights to be gleaned. I mean, especially if it's like good. So some stuff is just like candy and it's like, there's no nutritional value here. I can't watch this.
Totally. I guess I make a distinction between watching a show mm-hmm. and turning on the television, as in just like receiving broadcast. Yeah.
Oh, I don't do that. Yeah. No. But that is what people do. Mm-hmm. Or even like the internet or the doom scrolling. Mm-hmm. People doom scroll. That's a thing. And they're just like taking in information. So you, really what I think the question is, what are you doing with that information and what is the impact that it's having on you? There's no you should do this or you should do that outside of how is this impacting me? And if I find that I'm getting caught up in stories, that my nervous system is responding to these stories in a negative way, and that I am getting frozen, fearful, sick, whatever it is, then you probably don't need to be thinking so globally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's like that's the reality of it. So bring it in. Yes, it is okay to ignore. It is okay to put your head in this sand right now, if that's what you need to do in order to get to a place where you can be in the field of other people's projections, but really stay rooted in who you are, what you're doing, and what you're creating in the world. Mm. That's what matters to me. Mm. And that's why for me, the past 3 months, I've been in this taking space. Like, mm-hmm. I'm home. I'm not in the field of projections. I'm not in anyone's story. I'm getting to see who I am, what I am, what's important to me. And then when I feel really rooted and strong in myself, I can have someone come over and now we can have a shared projection. Mm-hmm. Now we can have a shared reality where I'm taking in what you're, you know, but to the extent that you're constantly taking in the thoughts and ideas of others and they are, and it is creating your view of the world around you, I don't think that's valid. The world around you is the one that you live, the one that you experience every day. Mm-hmm. That's the one that matters more than anything that's happening anywhere else. What is happening right in front of you is what matters.
Yeah.
And if you can, yeah, again, it's just like, can I take in a little bit more and put it into a context that makes sense? Because there is important data out there that may be relevant to you.
That's a great point. We get, or a lot of people, certainly not everyone, but I fall victim to this. We get caught up in these stories that come from the news or social media or wherever it is they come from, maybe just other people in our, you know, other people repeat them to us directly. We get caught up in these stories and it stresses people out. People get depressed. People make weird decisions in their lives, but just generally give their energy away mm-hmm. to it and feel miserable generally about it. When what I notice is, and you could look at many, many, significant global events of the last 5 years, let's just say, or political events of the last 5 years, and how caught up and how wrapped up did you get in all of those? And then reflect back on what actually changed in your actual life day to day. What was actually different other than the way you were feeling about things or other than what you were consumed with thinking about? It's really an interesting exercise to do when you start to recognize how little impact these things actually really have. Not none, as we've also discovered in the last 3 years. Not none.
Well,
sometimes these world events do actually come knocking on your door.
Even that, though.
Yeah.
Even that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this as you were talking. It's like these past 3 years, there was a narrative and an experience that a lot of people were having that became like a collective narrative.
True.
For most people, the way they engaged with it was really defined by what they were hearing on the news, what they were hearing. And for some people, that was not the case at all. I myself had a very different experience. Even while I was experiencing people who were engaged with the narrative and in a fear state, my own experience, because I was not immersing myself and like taking it as truth, was to view it with a very different lens, to be curious and to look at the reality around me of people and how and their wellness and what happens when I'm still hanging out, just to view it in a very different way. And another example comes to me that I think is really more clear. So like there's police officers, right? And like we have a lot of negative stories about police officers and police interactions, especially as a person with brown skin. Mm-hmm. Like I should be so scared. And even from my own perspective, because I used to consider myself an anarchist, so I was just like anti-authoritarian, right? I came at it from a very anti-authoritarian space. So if a police officer pulled me over, my energy around that was very rebellious. It was very just like, you're a bad guy. You're doing something wrong. And my energy around that has shifted so entirely such that when a police officer pulls me over and comes to the door, I have no foreknowledge of anything. You are another human being. I'm not going to make any assumptions about the way this interaction is going to go. I'm not going to carry the energy of dislike, disrespect, whatever it is. I'm just going to meet you and be honest with you. And I've had the experiences of having a police officer pull me over for something and just like treating them like I would treat any other person, telling them truths that most people would think, you can't tell that truth. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't say that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, yes, you can. This is a human being and I'm a human being. And I know you have a story, police officer, that you live in. Mm-hmm. I respect that. And also, that's not my story.
And to be fair, you don't actually really know what their story really is.
I don't. I don't.
Whatever story you think they have is actually your story.
It's actually your story. So if you just are in that moment with it and treat another person with care and humanity and navigate as you discover what their stories are, and then you alchemize in the moment, like, okay, what do we want this moment to become, right? And what's the best outcome we can have based on who you are? And so all of this information that people think is maybe necessary to have around police officers really isn't. I'm not treating you any different than I would treat anyone else. It's not important for me to have all of the information about all of the police brutality in the world. That's It's helpful information, surely. It can be if you can process that information and still stay rooted in your own energy. But for most people, it takes them out of their energy and it makes them see the police as an enemy.
This is a fantastic. I love this example. This is so good. And it reflects to my own life as well, because I went through a period of several years where I was terrified of police. And this was before it became popular. Like, as with everything for me, it's like, yeah, I'm never in the popular club. But at any rate, you know, I was terrified of the police because all the videos, you know, that circulate on the internet and all the stories that you hear from people that I actually know, like, I mean, I have personal, you know, first degree storytelling of things that have happened. And yet, if I reflect on my own actual lived experience, I've had quite a few, you know, more than several police interactions. They have all been extremely positive. Every one of them, you know, I have not personally experienced anything other than a kind of like a really high level peace officer kind of situation.
Well,
in my own personal
life. You are a white man. No, I'm kidding. That's what some people say, but I'm not a white man.
Yeah. I'm just telling my story.
Yes, right now.
I'm just saying this is true for me.
Yes.
And yet, you know, at the same time, I'm going around being terrified of the police and I'm stressing about it, you know. You know, when I'm not having police interactions, like when I'm just at home in the kitchen, I'm stressing about, oh God, the police, oh no, they're going to get me.
Your body jumps when you see them on the road.
And I actually am thinking, I'm like spending my time and my mental energy on thinking through scenarios of how I'll react in different situations and what am I going to say and am I going to stand my ground and how, you know, like, or what am I going to do and all these different things. When reality, the truth actually is, yes, things have happened to people. And it's also true that that actually hasn't happened to me. And what else is true, which is the piece that you're, I think, is really relevant to our conversation about manifestation that you're honing in on, is the most relevant thing is, what do I actually do? What do I actually do in any given moment, in any given situation where the information that I've learned is not irrelevant? It's real good information to have, especially for a person like me and the way that I go through the world and what the government knows about me from various activities that I've, you know, been a part of in my life and all that stuff. It is important information for me to know that my best bet, if I'm in a traffic stop situation with a peace officer, is to go ahead and keep my hands on the wheel at 10 and 2 and not make any sudden moves while we're having a conversation as two humans exploring each other's stories.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are some relevant
some
facts.
Common sense stuff.
There's some relevant stuff.
Because, yeah, like having an awareness of what their story is too and like what they're preparing themselves for. So there is a common sense of like being able, empathy even, right? Like, what's going on in this person, and this, what might their fears be in any relationship you have? Any relationship, what do they think is happening? What do I think is happening? What would I love to happen? It's relevant information, and also, if you, I am just a true believer in, in that way, I feel empowered in being able to look at a situation, take stock of what's happening, take stock of the other person, and figure out an outcome that is best for everyone involved and to offer that. And so, you know, like I got pulled over multiple times. It's not even like one time, like five times. And then one of those stories came in. I'm like, am I being pulled over because I'm black? No. Maybe it's because the car's not registered. but so that, you know, one thing to navigate and to just put that story aside, it doesn't matter. It's not material. It's not going to be material to this interaction, no matter. And then to move into that interaction of like, oh, there's a human being here. And, you know, I didn't have my car registered. And, you know, a lot of times when people talk to the police, it's like obsequious. And that's where resentment comes in, because you don't even want to have to do that. And you feel, at least I'm speaking for myself, to be obsequious to me would feel like it's taking me outside of myself. I would resent this, that I'm interacting with you in a way that I want to interact with someone else, because I fear you. I don't want to be in that relationship. And so in the past, I would automatically be in that relationship of resentment. But now it's like, I don't fear you. I'm going to tell you the truth. Whatever comes of that, comes of that. And so in multiple interactions with police officers, when they said, hey, your car's not registered. I'm like, hey, no. Is there a reason for that? Hasn't really been a priority for me. Whatever was like most true in that moment for me. Not a priority. When are you going to do it? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. And to be kind, and it's not, I'm not defensive. I'm just like, I don't know. This is the way I would talk to you about it, Vision. Mm-hmm. And in none of those circumstances, in multiple of those circumstances, the officer has laughed, right? Because they are caught off guard. They are awakened. They are no longer a non-player character. Mm-hmm. They are in a non-standard situation that doesn't trigger their fear. Mm-hmm. And that then gives them the opportunity to show up in some way. What have I invoked in them? And in every single instance, what I have invoked in them is a sense of care. Care enough to go, all right, I'll just give you a warning now, but the next officer might won't. That's what they always say. Mm-hmm. Right, but care enough to go, I'm now going to take care of you for the future so that you know, let you go. But it could happen again, so take care of it when you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Invoke, think intentionally, act and invoke something beautiful in others if you can.
And I'll just reframe that for myself as, in every moment, you can invoke the most beautiful reality that is available, if you'd like.
That's manifestation.
And that's manifestation. That's great. I love that. I feel like that came full circle. And I think that's the most powerful piece, you know, that we've arrived at, which is manifestation starts in each moment with your own invocation, what you choose to invoke in each moment, whether that's what's arising from within you, or whether that's how you choose to reflect, refract, alchemize, or ground whatever energies are coming into your field, and what it is that you choose to notice about the opportunities present in every single moment.
Mm-hmm. I love the masculine way of like structuring and wrapping everything up. It's always beautiful.
It's been a beautiful conversation. Thank you very much, Angel.
Always, every time.
Thanks for joining me for this sacred conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And don't forget that the conversation can always continue. We can build on a topic that we've already talked about, and we can also start new topics and see how they all weave together. And that's just the exciting thing about this whole journey of exploration, is we don't know where it's going to go, but I'm really excited to find out with you. Please don't be shy to reach out and schedule your sacred conversation on whatever topic is interesting to you. Thanks a lot, and I look forward to talking with you soon.